जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरवन चारी यमुना तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरवन चारी यमुना तीरवन चारी स्वामी प्रभुपाद की ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट 28 मन्ये त्वाम कालमीशानम् अनादि निधनं विभुम् समं चरन्तं सर्वत्र भूतानां यन्मिथः कली मन्ये त्वां कालमीशानम् अनादि निधनं विभुम् समं चरन्तं सर्वत्र भूतानां यन्मिथः कली मन्ये त्वां कालमीशानम् अनादि निधनं विभुम् समं चरन्तं सर्वत्र ಭೂತಾನಾಂ ಯನ್ಮಿತಃ ಕಲಿ. ಮನ್ಯತ್ವಾಂ ಕಾಲಮೀಶಾನಂ ಅನಾದಿ ನಿಧನಂ ವಿಭುಂ ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಭೂತಾನಾಂ ಯನ್ಮಿತಃ ಕಲಿ. ತ್ವಾಂ ಕಾಲಮೀಶಾನಂ ಅನಾದಿ ನಿಧನಂ ವಿಭುಂ ಚರಂತಂ ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಭೂತಾನಾಂ ಯನ್ಮಿತಃ ಕಲಿ. ಮನ್ಯೇ ತ್ವಾಂ ಕಾಲಮೀಶಾನಂ ಅನಾದಿ ನಿಧನಂ ವಿಭೂ ಸಮಂ ಚರಂತಂ ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಭೂತಾನಾಂ ಯನ್ಮಿತಃ ಕಲಿ. ಮನ್ಯೇ ತ್ವಾಂ ಕಾಲಮೀಶಾನಂ ಅನಾದಿ ನಿಧನಂ ವಿಭುಂ ಸಮಂ ಚರಂತಂ ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಭೂತಾನಾಂ ಯನ್ಮಿತಃ ಕಲಿ. ವಿಲ್ ರೀಡ್ ವರ್ಡ್ ಟು ವರ್ಡ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ಸ್. ಮನ್ಯೇ, ಐ ಕನ್ಸಿಡರ್, ತ್ವಾಂ, ಯೋರ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ಶಿಪ್, ಕಾಲಂ, ದ ಎಟರ್ನಲ್ ಟೈಮ್, ಈಶಾನಂ, ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ಅನಾದಿ ನಿಧನಂ, ವಿದೌಟ್ ಬಿಗಿನಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಎಂಡ್, ವಿಭೂಮ್, ಆಲ್ ಪರ್ವೇಡಿಂಗ್, ಸಮಂ, ಈಕ್ವಲಿ ಮರ್ಸಿಫುಲ್, ಚರಂತಂ, ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರಿಬ್ಯೂಟಿಂಗ್, ಸರ್ವತ್ರ, ಎವ್ರಿವೇರ್, ಭೂತಾನಾಂ, ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ಸ್, ಯತ್ ಮಿಥಃ, ಬೈ ಇಂಟರ್ಕೋರ್ಸ್, ಕಲಿಹಿ, ಡಿಸೆನ್ಷನ್. ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಲೈಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ. Translation. My Lord, I consider your lordship to be eternal time, the supreme controller, without beginning and end, the all-pervasive one. In distributing your mercy, you are equal to everyone. The dissensions between living beings are due to social intercourse. Purport. Kunti Devi knew that Krishna was neither her nephew nor an ordinary family member of her paternal house. She knew perfectly well that Krishna is the primeval Lord who lives in everyone's heart as the Supersoul Paramatma. Another name of the Paramatma feature of the Lord is Kala or Eternal Time. Eternal time is the witness of all our actions, good and bad. And thus, resultant reactions are destined by him. It is no use saying that we do not know why and for what we are suffering. We may forget the misdeed for which we may suffer at this present moment, but we must remember that Paramatma is our constant companion, and therefore, he knows everything past, present, and future. And because the Paramatma feature of Lord Krishna destines all actions and reactions, he is the supreme controller also. Without his sanction, not a blade of grass can move. The living beings are given as much freedom as they deserve, and misuse of that freedom is the cause of suffering. The devotees of the Lord do not misuse their freedom, and therefore, they are the good sons of the Lord. Others who misuse freedom are put into miseries destined by eternal Kal. The Kal offers the conditioned souls both happiness and miseries. It is also predestined by eternal time. as we have miseries uncalled for, so we may have happiness also without being asked, for they are all predestined by Kal. No one is therefore either an enemy or friend of the Lord. Everyone is suffering and enjoying the result of his own destiny. This destiny is made by the living beings in course of social intercourse. Everyone here wants to lord it over the material nature, and thus everyone creates his own destiny under the supervision of the Supreme Lord. He is all-pervading, and therefore he can see everyone's activity. And because the Lord has no beginning or end, he is known also as the eternal time Kal. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kada Mahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavansha Shri Rupam Sagrajatan Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitanscha Ye Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpataru Bhishtakripa Sindhu Bhaye Vacha Patinanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So I sincerely beg blessings of all the Vaishnavas so that I can speak something in the glorification of the Lord and for all of our inspiration to practice bhakti more sincerely. Thank you so much. So here, this verse in the series of verses, we are reading Srimati Kunti Devi's prayers. And it's quite interesting that her entire life is full of trials and tribulations. But here, her prayers are filled with so much of gratitude for the Lord. There is not even a single trace of any regret or blame on the Lord. She's simply offering her gratitude and glorification of the Lord. And she's saying that whatever they have suffered and whatever anyone suffers is a result of one's own past misdeeds. And the Lord is impartial. So this is the nature of a true devotee. As Brahmaji says, Tattenu kampa su samikshamano bhunjana evatma kratam vipakam. So a true devotee, he will see that, okay, whatever I am going through, atmakritam, I am only going through a minute fraction of what misdeeds I have done. Mercifully, Lord is giving me just a trace of it, actually. So this is the symptom of a true devotee. He or she sees the benevolent hand of Krishna in all circumstances, whether externally favorable or unfavorable. And this is another hallmark of a devotee, that they take any situation as an excuse to turn to Krishna and offer their heartfelt prayers. So whether the situations may be very different. Recently one of the boys was asking me a question that when we are going through difficult situations, we actually sincerely pray. But other times, you know, it's not so natural to pray to the Lord. So in response, I said that any situation, whether even if it is suffering, suffering is anyways, as told in this purport by Srila Prabhupada, that just like suffering comes unplanned, happiness comes unplanned based on our past deeds. So we should take every opportunity to turn to Krishna. So we may have different situations and we can just turn them situations as excuses to offer our prayers to Krishna and connect to Krishna. So there could be a prayer of glorification to the Lord when we come to the Lord, glorify their lordships, how beautiful they are. As in the Rudra Geet, Lord Shiva is praying, Snigdha Pravrat Ghanashyamam Sarva Sondarya Vigraham. So we could take this as an opportunity. Oh, I have come to the temple. Let me first offer my prayers, glorifying the Lord's beautiful form, His merciful nature. And then there could be prayers of gratitude. Like Prahlad Maharaj, he was asked by Lord, ask any benediction. And he was saying that, what can I ask you? You have given me everything. And he says that, Soham katham nu visraje tava brittya seva. I have received everything. The only thing I want is I should never give up the service of your devotee. So a prayer of glorification, a prayer of gratitude, and maybe there is a situation you may feel, Krishna, why are you doing this to me? So, okay, Prabhupada said, okay, at least you are accepting the Lord as a person. So there could be a prayer of grievance, right? Like the gopis, when Krishna had gone to Mathura, so when Uddhava comes, the gopis are expressing their grievance that how Krishna is so hard-hearted. And even in the Ras Leela, when Krishna disappeared, the gopis express their grievance. And then there could be a prayer for grace, asking for grace and forgiveness from the Lord, like Indra, after the 7 days of offenses that he did. So he offered sincere prayers for begging the grace of the Lord, for, you know, mercy of the Lord. And then there could be prayers of guidance, like Arjuna. He prays, Shishyasteham Sadhimam Tvam Prapannam. Lord, I am confused about my duty. Please show me the way. So there could be prayers of guidance. We may be at crossroads in our life and we want that, Krishna, I don't know left or right. Please show me the way. And then there could be prayers where we may beg the Lord to guard us, protect us from very difficult situations, like Draupadi's prayers. She called out, shouted out from the bottom of her heart the names of Govinda, Damodar, Madhava. So there could be these prayers. Or Brahmaji's prayer before creation, Oh Lord, because I am going to create this material universe full of passion and ignorance, please protect my consciousness, guard my consciousness. And then there could be prayers of growth. Like here, Kunti Devi is also praying that Sneha Pasham Imam Chindi Dridam Pandushu Vishnishu. And she is praying, Tvai Me Anya Vishaya Mati Matu Prate Sakrit. That let my consciousness just flow like the river Ganges flows towards the sea. Let my consciousness flow towards your lotus feet. And let my consciousness not get attached to the family material bonding. So here we see there were different types of situations, and these different devotees, they just took them as excuses to turn to Krishna and pray to the Lord, connect to the Lord. And from the prayer of glorification, like Rudra Geet, gratitude like Prahlad Maharaj, grievance like the gopis, asking for grace of the Lord like Indra, guidance like Arjuna, and guard or protection like Draupadi and Brahmaji, and growth in bhakti like Kunti Devi. So there could be different situations. But the bottom line is, oh Lord, I want to connect to you. And whether we get what we asked for or not, that's just a byproduct. You know, the prayer in itself is a real success. Because while we are praying, we are actually with Krishna. And when we are with Krishna, what else is there to ask for? Everything is there in Krishna. He is the Om Purnamadah Purnamidam. Right? So, the prayer itself is a real success for a devotee. However, that doesn't, this consciousness doesn't hold true for the most of the world around. It's only by the grace of Srila Prabhupada that we could actually tune in and at least understand a bit of what the consciousness of these devotees is. But in the outside world, the natural tendency is to blame. In psychology, there is a concept called, there's a phenomena called negative agency bias, which says that people have a tendency to take credit of any good thing that happens to them and find some scapegoat for blaming for any wrong that happens to them. So this is called the negative agency bias. And once a student was asked by the teacher, tell the benefits of teamwork. So the student thought and then he said that, I think teamwork gives us the opportunity to take credit for what others have done and share blames with others, you know, for our mistakes. So that's how is the typical mindset. And another, like coming from a middle class family, and you know how the blame game goes over. You know, we have so many students in our country trying to prepare for competitive exams, and not everyone comes out with flying colors. So there are different reactions. So here is a typical scenario. There's a boy, Raju. So his philosophy of life is that don't study, just enjoy. And then, you know, he flunks the exams. Not only his IIT JEE exams, he also flunks his 12th board exams. And then his parents are upset. They are actually chastising him. Tujhe bola tha kuch padhai kar le. Din bhar ye Netflix mein laga rehta hai. Entire day you are on Netflix. You know, your future will be spoiled, we told you. And then this boy Raju, he said, I have to find a way out. So he starts crying. Like this, he's, you know, burst out. And then, okay, so then the mother and father, you know, they were taken aback. So mother said, actually, the fault is not his. The fault is yours, to the father, she says, that if you had sent him to Kota for higher studies, he would have actually, you know, come out in top 100, like that Himanshu, our neighbor. So it was your fault. You didn't send him to Kota. Even Arjuna needed Drona's academy. So he should have gone there, you know. And the father says, aisa hi keh keh ke tumne usko bigad diya hai. Like this, by pampering him, you have made him a laggard in life. So then she says, no, it's not me, it's his friends who are his bad association. You know, they are the one who have spoiled him, you know, so it's not me. So then the father says, okay, enough is enough. Let's close the matter down now. But then you stop this Guruvar ka vrat and puja, which you do to your God. See, despite your vrata and puja, he has not been successful. So somehow or other, you know, the counter is sticking to one person to another, from the child to the father to the mother to the friends, and to finally, you know, where the buck stops is at God. Okay, so the thing is, that's the how the nature of the world is. And so people believe in a God of mortal gaps. You know, when they don't find anyone to blame, they will blame it on God. And that's why anything, you know, any natural calamity which happens, they call it an act of God. As if the air we are breathing, the water we are drinking, you know, all the facilities that we are having is not an act of God. Only when some, you know, tsunami or earthquake strikes, it's not because of our actions, it's an act of God. So that's, and even research shows this. Researchers at Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Janoff Bullman and his team, they did a survey of people who got paralyzed, right? And they asked them, you know, and they did a survey with them, and they found out that that out of the 29 people they surveyed, you know, everyone asked, why me? Right? And whereas they surveyed people who won lottery tickets, and out of the 29, you know, who won lottery tickets, only half of them asked, why me? The rest said, I deserve it. Maine itna lottery kharida tha. Right? So whereas people who went through paralysis, they asked, why me? And out of the 29, 17 said, blamed it on God. And only 2 said, I deserve it. It's my karma coming back to me. So here we see this is how the conditioned soul is wired. And this is the human tendency to put God on trial for the unexplainable and undesirable things which happen in our life. Right? And in other words, when life corners us, we corner God and put him on trial in the convict box. Right? And for 2 reasons. Either there are external trials that we go through or internal temptations. You know, for a sadhaka, oh, why did I fall to that temptation? Why Krishna is not giving me strength? Or better ask, why did I not chant attentively? Or why did not I actually hear attentively or take association seriously? So either external trials or internal temptations, we need to turn to Krishna, not for blame, but for actually sincerely approaching him. And rather than, you know, blaming God for creating the apple of sin, you know, why did you create the apple of sin? Better ask, why did I eat the apple of sin in the first place? So this is, you know, what, you know, people ask, why did God create evil? If God is all good, why is there so much suffering in this world? Why did God create evil? Dear sir, God did not create evil. He created free will. And if the living entity chooses to act like a devil, then individually and collectively, we have to pay the bill, right, for our misdeeds. So, and Bhagavad Gita gives this very refined understanding. And Krishna, the 5th chapter, says, Na kartrutvam na karmani lokasya srajati prabhu na karma phala samyogam swabhavas tu pravartate. That he says that I am not involved in either the actions and reactions that people get. Swabhavas tu pravartate. Their own ignorant nature is the cause of the actions they do and that the reactions that they get. This is what Chakravarti Thakur says. And he says further, Na datte kashyachit papam na chaiva sukratam vibhu ajnanena avratam jnanam tena muhyanti jantava. It's because of the timeless ignorance of the living entity, because of which one engages in devious activities and then gets this result. As Kunti Devi is saying here, bhutanam yan mithah kali. It's all due to, you know, we are only, you know, having a musical chair among ourselves, you know, that sometime I am, you know, troubling him or giving him a suffering or a difficult situation, and then someone else, you know, comes to me giving that equivalent reaction, right? And the Bhagavad Gita, like Krishna further says that, however, when you understand that I am the impartial Paramatma sitting in everyone's heart, just like the sun, who is impartial, if one chooses to close the doors and windows, then it's not the fault of the sun, that the sun rays is not coming inside. So when one acknowledges that Lord is impartial and he is all merciful, then what happens is, then actually, what to speak of the Lord, one can see each and every living entity with equal vision. The living entity becomes impartial. As, you know, Brahmani Gavi Hastine, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmani Gavi Hastine. This comes in the same sequence of verses. That when you acknowledge that the Paramatma is impartial and merciful, what happens? You see the same Paramatma in everyone's heart, and then you develop feelings of benevolence for all living entities. So not only the Lord is all benevolent, all merciful, all impartial, when we understand this, we also develop a fraction of these qualities of being benevolent to everyone, being impartial to everyone, being loving to everyone. So this is the solution given by the Gita to stop the blame game and realize, acknowledge that The Paramatma is all merciful friend of all living entities. And that's the actual peace formula. As Krishna says in the 5.29, Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatvamam Shantim Richati. Shantim Richati. Everyone is looking for peace. Right? And that peace is available when one understands that Krishna is a Bhokta and of all Yagya, Tapasya and everything that we do. You know, and he is a Sarva Loka Maheshwara. That is the peace formula. Whereas what we see in the world is Kali. Bhutanam Yan Mita Kali, and especially this is the age of Kali, of quarrel and hypocrisy. So age of conflicts. Now, if you have to put a number figure on the financial burden of Kali on the planet, you know, the economists have tried to put a figure to the conflict and the violence, the financial strain on the economy. So they have come with a figure of $15 trillion, which means almost like 15% of the GDP of the world is spoiled and wasted and misdirected towards avoiding conflict, or actually, you know, with the results of the bad results, consequences of the conflicts. So military budgets or law and order, crimes, all of this, they cost a lot. And people ask, what is the value of these values of honesty, of compassion you are teaching? This is the value. Even if someone wants a financial figure, it's there. You would save 15% of the world economy if we would understand and present this message of the Bhagavad Gita. So that's the benefit. And otherwise, the world has seen enough conflicts. The World War II led to death of 7.5 crore people. Now the COVID is really a virus in front of that. Minuscule. So 7.5 crore people were killed by other people because of not the virus called COVID, because of the virus called envy in the mind of the living entity. So, and the cold wars between US and USSR, and then the war between religions, between races, between families. So, a recent study shows that children who grow up in families with divorced parents or with unstable relationships between parents, they have 8 times more danger, more probability of going through mental disturbances, mental depression, emotional problems in their life. So people ask, okay, what is the need for a happy family, and all of these things are obsolete. But this is the need. Now we are putting this future at stake if we are not preserving these family values of sacrifice, of trust, of care and love. So these things cost a lot to the society, either financially or socially, in different ways. But if you apply this peace formula, Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam, understanding Krishna is a benevolent friend of every living entity, and if I love Krishna, I can direct that love towards all living entities. So that is the real peace formula. And if you look at it ironically, it's quite ironical that Krishna went as the peace messenger between the Kauravas and the Pandavas. Now, the greatest war of all times, the greatest conflict of all times, here the verse Krishna not only said in the Bhagavad Gita, peace formula, he also showed the peace formula. He went as a peace messenger. So if the Kauravas, the 100 Kauravas, had accepted Krishna in between them, then they would be 100 plus 5, 105, because they would have become joined in yoga with Krishna in the center. But because they chose to, defame Krishna and try to kidnap Krishna, what happened is 100 got wiped out and only the 5 remained who actually had Krishna in the center. So this is how practically Krishna showed that this peace formula really works. And but what was the philosophy of the Kauravas? Quite completely opposite to what Krishna says is Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam. Their philosophy was, Ishwaroham Aham Bhogi Siddhoham Balavan Sukhi So Krishna says, you know, Bhoktaram, I am the Bhokta. They are saying, no, Aham Bhokta. Krishna is saying, Maheshwaram, I am the Maheshwaram. No, no, Ishwaroham. So when this is the philosophy, then the results are, you know, it's a no-brainer. And Krishna further says, in this 16th chapter, that describing the qualities of the demoniac, that Mam Atma Par Deheshu Pradvishanto Abhyasuyakaha. Such people who have this philosophy, they not only envy me, they envy all living entities. This is what Duryodhan tried to do. The Dushta Chatushtayam, they tried to kidnap Krishna because they were envious of Krishna. And then Krishna says, what do I then do to them? Tan aham dushataha krura samsareshu naradhima shivami ajashram ashubham asuri eva yonishu. I put them in asuri yonis because that's what they asked for by their envious disposition. Whereas for the Pandavas, what applies is ananya shintayanto mam ye jana parimpasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyam. So Krishna did the yoga kshemam, whatever they lacked, he provided. You know, okay, the sun is setting, okay, I will provide you, the darkness, the sun will set, and now you fight and then again make it rise. So I'll change all the laws of nature to work for you, in your favor. So this is basically practical demonstration of the peace formula. You have Krishna in between, then the Kauravas and Pandavas could have been the best of brothers. But if you remove Krishna, then what you have is destruction. And so basically, essentially, what we are trying to see here is that if we bring Krishna to the center of our lives, in the center of our relationships, in the center of whatever we do in this world, then everything becomes auspicious, becomes glorious, and becomes helpful for others. So let's see through a number of scenarios, like say a husband-wife relationship, right? Which is, you know, again, a lot of conflict can happen. But marriage is a sacred bond with God in the center. It's a sacred bond of responsibility with God in the center. But because the new generation, the modern generation is trivializing this, what is happening is they are hopping from, you know, all sorts of unmentionable things. Extramarital affairs, to divorces, to living relationships, to hookups. And then they keep watching, consuming, you know, millions of videos on breakups, right? With broken hearts. So if we acknowledge and understand that this is a sacred relation based on responsibility towards God and responsibility to each other, then we won't have all of this, these things. But then we have the mantra poisoning our consciousness. So mantra, she poisoned Kaikeyi's consciousness. In everyone's life in Ayodhya, Ram was the center. We are discussing how if we keep Krishna in the center, everything is so synergistic, so harmonious. But if we remove Krishna out of the center, everything falls apart. So Kaikeyi, she also had Ram in the center of her life, and therefore everything, Ram's coronation gave her so much of happiness. But then there was a mantra who said, look, you are not in the center. Your son is not in the center. That Ram is in the center. That's the problem. And by repeated propaganda, what happened? Kaikeyi started thinking, oh, I need to get myself and my son in the center. And then what happens is that, her husband Dashrath died an untimely, miserable death. Her own son, Bharat, he despised her and abandoned her. And the entire Ayodhya abandoned her. And she became, you know, completely lonely. So that is the situation when we try to bring ourselves in the center, remove Ram, Lord Ram or Lord Krishna from the center. Previously, there was only one mantra in Ayodhya, right? One mantra in a country. But now, with progression of time, there was mantra in every city. You know, gradually in the, you know, 60s, there were cinema halls coming up in every city, right? Everyone would flock on the weekends, okay, new cinema. And the mantra would gradually do her work. Then you had mantra in every home. Come the 90s and you had televisions in every home. You know, every home you have personalized, customized mantra, you know, polluting your consciousness. And now, as technology is advancing, we have mantra in every pocket. Look, I'm with you all the time, you know, I'm the Paramatma. You know, I understand what you need. Even without asking, I will provide you what notification, what knowledge you need. I am at your fingertips. And I will make you dance, although you think that you are making me dance. So this is how mantra is corrupting our consciousness and trying to remove God out of the center. So there was a movie which came, Pati Patni or Wo. You know, this is how they are creating a propaganda, you know, and Wo. So, you know, it's a very, very masaledar story, you know, and many people. But then they don't understand that actually the phrase is correct. But that Pati Patni or Wo nahi, Wo. When you have Krishna, then everything, then you can have a happy, meaningful, purposeful life. Otherwise, it's bound for destruction. Just like the Brahman Patnis. We saw a negative example of Kaikeyi trying to remove Ram out of the center. And we have example of Brahman Patnis who brought Krishna in the center. Even though they were being stopped, Bhratrabhi, Bandubhi, Sahed, all of them were stopping her, their parents, their husbands, their sons, they were stopping, but they were flowing like Ganga towards go serve Krishna. And when they brought Krishna in the center, what happened? Automatically the Brahmanas' hearts, their hearts also got transformed. And this is what happens when we bring Krishna in the center. So we discussed about husband and wife, Pati Patni or Wo. Now between brothers, so there are quarrels among brothers can be very painful for their parents because they love both of them, but then when they see that they have Krishna in the center, they don't even have their parents in the center, right? Because without Krishna in the center, you cannot even have your parents in the center. Gradually, everyone is serving their selfish intentions. So we have a story of Nabhaga in the Srimad Bhagavatam where his brothers, he had gone for tapasya, and when he returned, his brothers told him, look, we have done a very intelligent division of the property. So we have divided the property amongst ourselves, but the most important thing we have kept for you. So what is that? Service to our father. So this is how when you don't have Krishna in the center, this is, you know, the blame game keeps running. And then we have another story from Mahabharata where Sunda and Upasunda, they were best of brothers. You know, they would eat together, drink together, do all obnoxious things together. And they thought our unity cannot be, you know, compromised. So they asked, they did tapasya, asked Brahmaji the benediction, no one can kill us except each other. And then they were terrifying the entire universe. And then what did, you know, the demigods, they approached Brahmaji and Brahmaji sent Tilottama. So easily just, the you know, the movements of her eyebrows caused their best of brotherhood, making them the worst of enemies, killing each other on the spot. Right? So it can be so short-lived. The brotherhood, if it is not based on Krishna conscious principles. Whereas if you see the Pandavas were told this story by Narad Muni to tell that even though you have Krishna in the center, you have to be careful. So it's not just you put Krishna in the center and then you DT in the house and then everything is fine. No, you have to put conscious efforts to respect each other's needs. So he told the Pandavas that whenever anyone of you is with Draupadi, others should not enter that room. You keep it as a sacred vow. So this is how when the words of Krishna's devotees is in the center of our lives, everything becomes properly arranged. So we saw husband and wife, brothers, and then parent and child. We see the example of Daksha and Sati. So Daksha caused the death of her own daughter, most beloved daughter. Whereas examples like Surya Dev, he told Yamuna, you go and do tapasya to attain Krishna as your husband, I bless you. You had example of King Nagnajit, who told Nagnajiti or Satya that, you know, you should have Krishna as your husband. And when Krishna came, you know, it was just a formality that he asked him to tame those 7 bulls. And then he happily handed over her to Krishna. So this is the example when you have Krishna in the center in parent-child relationship, and if not, then what happens is that even though you may be a loving father or mother, you may cause great distress to your own children if you don't have that Krishna factor in the center. There's so many other examples we can see. Finally, we have there's conflict, constant conflict going even within ourselves. In 11th canto, Uddhava Gita, Krishna tells that all the senses, the eyes, the ears, the tongue, the taste, the touch, everything is pulling us in different directions. These horses, they are pulling us in different directions and there's conflict. The mind is pulling in one direction, right? So, and globally it is estimated like there are more than 30 crore people suffering from depression. 4 out of 10 Indian professionals, working professionals, they suffer from anxiety disorder or depression, right? Because of this conflict which is there inside, not outside. Outside everything may be fine, but inside there's a conflict. And so what is the solution? Narad Muni gives an analogy to Prachini Barishat about Puranjan, about the chariot of Puranjan. And he says, the senses are like the horses, the mind is like the rain, and for the conditioned soul, the charioteer is the polluted intelligence, Puranjani, the wife of Puranjan. So she is the charioteer, she is calling the shots, where to go, which sense to enjoy. And then what happens to such a chariot? It goes through birth, the cycle of birth, old age, disease and death, again and again, repeated suffering. Now, we have been discussing bringing Krishna in the center. Now, what did Arjuna do? In, you know, retrospect, if we look at it from this Puranjan example, we see that conditioned soul has the polluted intelligence corrupted by passion to enjoy in the center. But what did Arjuna do? Out of the Narayani Sena and Krishna, he asked for Krishna, okay, you are not going to fight, doesn't matter. I want you as the guide in my life. I want your intelligence and my efforts, right? So you be my intelligence, you be my, philosopher and guide. And he put Krishna in the center. If you look at the chariot, what is at the center? Is the charioteer. The passenger sits at the back or the warrior sits at the back. The horses are in the front, but what is right in the middle is the charioteer. And so actually, even graphically, if you look, bringing Krishna in the center, you know, Arjuna, got, it was a choice. So he didn't want the Narayani Sena. Although from all other parameters, it looked more attractive, lucrative. But he said, no, I just want this one factor in my life. Rest all doesn't matter. Even if I lose, I want this factor. And that's the choice that we as devotees should always sincerely aspire to make. That we should always get the strength to keep Krishna in the center, even though we may see there are many challenges or difficulties. So now the question arises, we saw that there's so much conflict going in the world, which is causing so much of problems. But the solution is Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam, bringing Krishna in the center, right? But then how do we really bring Krishna in the center? So the answer is that for bringing Krishna in the center, we first need to move out of the center, right? And this is very beautifully demonstrated. I was hearing one lecture of Radhikarman too. He was sharing that how the growth of any spiritual seeker, it goes through certain phases. So he says that initially one approaches God for artho arthaarthi, for fulfilling some desire. So once desires are like the big circle and God is a small circle inside that. Okay, I'm interested in God because, you know, he can help me fulfill these desires. So he's there somewhere. I will try through other efforts, but then probably God can also help me. So let me keep him in the circle. So at least he's better than a theist. You know, he has a big circle of his desires and God is there in the center. He says it is just like a small child, a small baby, newly born baby. It is not aware of anything in the world except its own desires, its own needs. It will start crying as soon as it's hungry, it's thirsty. It doesn't care anything about his or her parents, whether it's 2 a.m. in the night or his mother has not slept for 2 days. No. My desire, you must fulfill now. Otherwise, you know, dunya sar pe le lenge. So this is the neophyte who just starts to appreciate God's presence. So he, my desire is Krishna is a small. But then as one grows, the child grows, he starts coming to know, oh, my father is a CEO of a big company. Oh, he has a big position, right? So, still what happens is, for such a person, his desires are important. God is great. Definitely God is great, and God is the big circle. But my desires are important, so let me place my desires in that big circle of God. So previously, my desires were the big circle and God was the small circle. Now, my desires are the small circle, God is the big circle. And then further, what the principle Bhagavatam is teaching is that when the child starts thinking, I have taken so much service from my parents, let me do a small thing for them, as just Ganga Jal offered to Ganga. So let me offer something to my parents. And the child gives a birthday gift. From the same money of the parent, she buys a gift and offers it and gives so much happiness to the parent. Right? So this is with the transition where God's desires are the big circle. Now there is a transition from my desires to God's desires. God's desires are the big circle, and I am somewhere, whatever I can do to fulfill that big circle of God's desires. Right? So that is the progression of anyone's journey in spiritual life. You know, from my desires as a big circle and God is a small circle, to God's desires as a big circle and me as the small circle within that. And Vritrasur prayers beautifully describe this. Ajat paksha eva mataram khagas tanyam yatha vatsata tara shudartha. He says that he's praying to the Lord, and he's comparing that just like a small baby bird is crying out, you know, looking for the mother bird to come and feed. So he's thinking, no, this is not a good prayer. Let me replace it. Why? Because I'm actually just, you know, it's passive relationship. I'm just sitting and, you know, waiting for getting some service. Then he comes, stanyam yatha vatsatara shudartha. Let me be active in my service, in my devotional service. Let me approach my mother, just like a calf approaches the mother cow. So let me approach the Lord. But then again, you know, my desires are there. God is big. In that, my desires are there. And then he comes to the next level. No, this is also not the highest, because here I am asking for service. Let me be servant of the Lord. And he comes, priyam priyeva vyushitam vishanna. Actually, just like a chaste wife, she is constantly thinking, how can I serve the husband? How can I give pleasure to my husband? So, bringing to the point where God is the big circle and me, God's desires are the big circle and me as a small circle. So that's what Vritrasur's prayers are, to bring Krishna in the center, you know, from being ourselves in the center. And what is the summit of this kind of consciousness of keeping Krishna in the center? It's the example of the Vrajvasis. Vrajvasis, their life is, you know, an example of how to keep Krishna in the center. So, Vrajvasis are those who always keep moving. Vraja, Vrajanti. They are always moving. Why? To keep Krishna in the center. To keep Krishna's, you know, well-being in the center. And other things, they will keep changing amidst whatever needs to be done. So, we have this, you know, episode in the 11th chapter where after so many of the calamities which have struck Gokul Mahavan, they are thinking that probably this is not a good place for Krishna Balaram. So, Upananda, he calls a meeting and then he says, Uttatavyam ito asmabhir gokulasya hiteshibhir ayanti atto mahutpata balanam nasha hetava. So, here there is dangers to do these two children. Out of their entire big population of maybe crores of gopas and gopis, these two are at danger. Chalo, let's move. Let's move out of here, because this center, this physical center, is not favorable for our spiritual center, which is Krishna. So let us move to Vrindavan. And then they moved their, you know, entire residence from Gokul Mahavan to Vrindavan for facilitating, you know, Krishna's protection. And similarly, in the episode of Govardhan Leela, they had been doing this traditional ritual of offering, you know, worship to Indra. But then Krishna said, no, you should, there's no logic to this. You should worship the Govardhan and the cows and the Brahmanas, because they are our real worshipable deities. So what they did, they kept Govardhan in the center and they did a parikrama. Like they worshipped Govardhan, they worshipped the cows. And then they took that risk. And it cost them. But then they were ready to take that risk to put Krishna in the center, to put Krishna's desire in the center, to put Govardhan in the center and do the parikrama, keeping Govardhan in the center. And so that's representative of a devotee keeping Krishna and his desires in the center. So when we do Govardhan parikrama, it's about, you know, cultivating that attitude of the Vrajavasis. Whatever may be the difficulty, let me keep Krishna in the center. And then everything becomes blissful and meaningful. So in the 13th chapter of the 10th canto, we have this symbolic representation of this, where you know, all the cowherd boys, Krishna is sitting after Agasur has been killed, and Krishna says that now all of you are hungry. So he's looking out, what is a good place? You know, you all had a lot of trouble. So he finds out a good location. He says, Ahuvatiramyam pulinam vayasya swakeli sampan vidula chabalukam sputat saro gandas mritali patrika dhvani prati dhvana lasadrumakulam. He says, this is a beautiful place because the sand on the banks of Yamuna is very soft here and very clean. We can have our lunch here as the birds are chirping, the bees are humming. This is the best place. And he says, Atra bhoktavyam asmabir diva rudham shudhartita. Are tum log subhe se bhuke ho, mujhe uski chinta hai. Ye demon vimon tumhe marta rehta hun. But you are hungry since morning, that's troubling me. So let's immediately take our lunches here. And then Krishna sat in the center and all the cowherd boys started making circles around him, keeping Krishna in the center. Krishnasya vishvak pururaji mandalai abhyanana fulla drisho vrajarbaka sahopavishta vipine vireju chadaya thamboruha karnikaya. So it says Krishnasya vishvak, keeping Krishna in the center. Pururaji mandala, they formed mandalas around Krishna. And then what happens? Abhyanana, with so much of happiness, Fulladrisho means completely blissful. They were just gazing at Krishna. And everyone was gazing at Krishna, although there were rows and rows of cowherd boys. But everyone felt that Krishna is just looking into my eyes and I am looking into Krishna's eyes. And probably Krishna is showing his back to others, but he's so merciful. He's just looking at me. He's so compassionate. I am the most fallen. I am the most insignificant. But Krishna is so merciful. So when they kept Krishna in the center, for Krishna, that devotee becomes the center of his life. And Krishna gives himself to that devotee. And so Prabhupada writes in the purport, the present Krishna consciousness movement is an attempt to keep Krishna in the center. For if this is done, all activities will automatically become beautiful and blissful. And this is what is seen. The cowherd boys are so blissful and so beautiful, you know, being with Krishna. So we'll see what they do with Krishna. So they are having a lot of fun with Krishna. Mushnanto anyonya shikyadi yata naracha chikshipu tatratayasya punadura hastavyam cha punadadu. So now they are having lunch, so you know, some boyhood you know, has pastimes have to happen. So someone steals someone else's tiffin, and then because he has to level a score, because yesterday he had stolen his, so he steals the tiffin, and as if he doesn't know, and then when he comes to know, he throws it to someone else, and then to someone else. And this person is running around here and there, and finally he starts crying and they say, "Arre bachcha hai kya yaar, ye likha." So give back the tiffin to him. So, and then they have a lot of fun, and this is not based on ego. Prabhupada clarifies, this is based on pure love. And then they are having so many different types of sports and fun. It's not just limited to a ball and bat and, you know, people running around that center. There are so many games. Kechid venu vadayanto dvanta shringani kechana. So there are musical games. Someone is playing a flute, others are playing bugle and creating a concert. Then they say, okay, musical ho gaya. Music ke saath mein, okay, let us sing. Kechid bringai pragayanto kujanto kokilai pare. So with music, someone starts singing. Someone sings like a kokila. Someone sings like the bringa, the bumblebee. Okay, now enough of music. Now let's do some Olympics. you know. So then whom to compete with? Vichhaya bhi pradhavanto. So they are trying to compete with the shadow of the birds which are flying in the sky. So Usain Bolt's speed is the fastest athlete, 45 kilometers an hour. A pigeon flies at 90 kilometers an hour. So they are competing with these birds and their shadows. So who can beat them in the Olympics? Who says India cannot win Olympics? But, you know. And vichhaya bhi pradhavanto gachanto sadhu hamsake. So then someone says, okay, let me do a, you know, very gracious walk like the hamsa. So they are just walking very gracefully next to the hamsas. Someone just goes and sits next to the crane because the crane is just as if sitting in meditation. So they also said, I am also yogi. I will also sit in meditation with this crane. And Nityanta Shakalapi, some started dancing with the peacocks. And then some are really naughty. So they are, so all of this is not so, they don't like so much civilized behavior. So what they want is, so they see the monkeys. Huh? These are our good friends. They see children of monkeys. So Vikarshanta Kishabalan, so they start teasing these monkey children. And these monkey children, they are little afraid. So they run away to the tree. And these cowherd boys, after them, they start climbing the trees. So some climb the trees. Some find the tails of big monkeys hanging down. So they catch hold of it and climb up the tree. And then they sit next to these monkeys. And Vikurvantascha Tai Shakam, on the same branch, they go and sit. And when these monkeys, they see them, like, these are real monkeys. You know, they become afraid, and these monkeys jump from one branch to another. And they also follow them and jump from one branch to another. And then finally the game is over. Plavantascha Palashishu. They come down from the tree. Shakam Bekair Vilanganta Sarita Savasamplata. So some jump like frogs in the water. And Vihasanta Prati Chaya Shapantascha Prati Swaran. So they play. They have water sports. If all of that was not enough, they do water sports. You know, with their clothes, they jump with the frogs into the water. They actually see their own images in the water and they start, you know, having some debate with that. So like this, there is so much of fun which is there to be had if only we make this one choice of keeping Krishna in the center. Krishnasya Vishwak Pururaji Mandalai, and revolve everything in our life with this center, then everything is harmonious, everything is synergized, and everything is blissful and beautiful as Srila Prabhupada is telling us in this purport. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana ki jai.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram.